Today she is Masechta Nida Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Mashna Hachi Vaday Mashna Hachi Safek. In our previous year, we began our Masechta with quoting the opinion of Shammai that says if a woman has an emission, we need not be concerned that she was tamei before, and she only is tamei from when she became aware of it. Hillel and the Chachamim took a more strict approach, the Chachamim saying 24 hours or the last bedika, whichever is shorter. Hillel saying all the way back to the last bedika. The Gemara then asked on the Beis Amud Beis two questions in trying to understand the opinion of Hillel. It's just done in these opinions. One is from the case where a mikveh was found to be disqualified, that the Mishnah Paskins or Braisa Paskins, that everything we find in that mikveh, everything that we put into that mikveh is not considered properly immersed. And the other question was from the case of a chavis, that we were relying on a barrel of wine at home that we should use to take off Trumas and Maestris, and again where we discovered that that wine had turned into vinegar. And the Gemara said the same tarets to both questions. And that is, in both of those situations, there was a tarte l'reyusa. We had, as the Gemara explained, a pasla mikvah. We had a barrel of wine that was vinegar. And we also had produce, which was tevel. We had a person who had gone into the mikvah that was tamei. And therefore, we're stricter over there than we are in the case of our Mishnah that only had one reyusa. But the Gemara makes an interesting observation now as we begin today's shiur. In the case of mikvah, the Mishnah said that anything that was put into that mikveh is considered tamei, absolutely tamei. In the case of chavis, the Mishnah said, we are concerned that it was not properly taken off Trumas and Maestris. And therefore, the Gemara's question is very obvious. The tartil reusa, this concept that both of these cases have tartil reusa, is identical. So why should the halacha be different by mikveh than from chavis? Ask the Gemara. Mash lahacha vaday. Why by the mikveh did the Mishnah say that it's vaday, that it was posel, we consider it vaday posel? Or mashna hacha safik, why over here do we consider it only a safik? Answers the Gemara. Am Rav Chanina Mesur Mantan Chavis. Who's the mandama that takes that of Chavis? Rav Shimon he. It's the opinion of Rav Shimon. And indeed, says the Gemara, the Lagaba mikveh, Rav Shimon's opinion is safik nami sveka mazulay. In other words, according to Rav Shimon, the fact that it's Tata L'Rusa, this is the way Tosfos explains, doesn't change that we should not say for sure it's Tamei, it only creates a Safik. So what the Gemara is saying is a very simple teretz. The Gemara is saying is, the opinion of the Tanakam in both situations, given that both Tata L'Rusa would be that it's Vadai, and the opinion of Shimon in both is that it's a Safik. And the Tanan, and as indeed we learned, Mikvah Shanim Devanim Tzachasar, if the case that we discussed, if a mikveh turned out to be missing from the shear, kol tahar shenas l'gabal u'mefreya, anything that was put into that mikveh, Ben B'shus Ayoch, Rabin Ben B'shus Ayoch, we'll speak about that more in a moment, a Timaeus. Shimon Omer, Shimon disagrees, B'shus Rabin, he says, Tahiris, B'shus Ayoch, Thailand. So indeed, Rav Shimon is not saying that it's Vaday Tomei, it's only a Safik, in B'shus Ayochid. And furthermore, even Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he says that we could be completely lenient. So says the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis of Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon? Says the Gemara, v'shnei lo'elam du'elam asaita. They both take their opinions from the halacha of asaita, which we know the halacha is, that if a woman was warned, kinui, by her husband not to be secluded with a man, and then there was stira, she did indeed seclude herself with that man. So the halach is she is now also to her husband, unless she drinks the water of the saita, a saita water that proved that she's innocent. So the halach is Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold ki saita. The Rabbanan use saita as their model. Mas saita, just like saita, sofiki. We don't know for sure that she had an adulterous relationship. Vaso vadai, yet we treat it as if we know for sure she did. What does that mean? The halacha, as I just said a moment ago, is that until she's proven innocent, the halacha is that she's also to her husband. She's prohibited to her husband. All the mafarshim take even a step further. What would be the halacha if a woman had kinui and stira, and we don't have maimar, b'zmanazah we don't have meisaita? This woman will remain also to her husband forever. So we see how strict we treat her. Hachnami, same thing by the mitzvah, so sofek asur kavadai. Now the question, of course, is that the Rishonim address, what does soita have to do with a mikvah? So there's two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat the Rishonim say is that the Torah keeps on using the word tumma by soita, and a mikvah is all about tumma tahara. So that's why they have the same rule. Another pshat is, that's the whole point. If by a soita, which is only a question of Isser, we don't know for sure she did something wrong, yet we see the Torah is so strict, certainly here, which is Tumat Tahara, Kav Chaymer, that's the way the Rosh learns, we should be strict. Ask the Gemara, if you, the Rabbanon, are learning from Saita, so you should go all the way. Imi Saita, Emeka Saita, then we should have it totally similar to Saita. Ma Saita, we know what Halacha is, Rishus Rabbim Tahar, the Saita, if she didn't seclude itself, it was Brishas Rabbim, she's Tahar. Hachinami, here too the halacha ought to be by the mikvah, that Brishas Rabbim Tahar. But if you recall, when we learned this Mishnah in yesterday's shir, on the top of Beis and Mabeis, it said explicitly, Bein Brishas Rabbim, Bein Brishas Yachid, there is no difference. But if you, the Rabbah, are using Saita as your model, so you should follow the model. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. Hasa Mishum Stirihi. There, the reason why the halacha is different in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from Rosh Hashanah Yochid is because in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the stir of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, leka. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this. It doesn't really make a difference that Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The point is, what is the definition of Saita? As we said a moment ago, you had kinui and you had stira. By definition, stira is only possible in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because the definition of stira is that she secluded herself, as we said, with this man. So it's not Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim that makes the difference. What makes the difference is, did you have kinui stira or did you not? If it would theoretically be possible, which it isn't, the Gemara is saying, that you could have stira in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then the Saita would have the same halacha in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's only because it's impossible to have stira in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But by mikvah, there is no distinction between Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Therefore, Seder Rabbanan has the same din. Hasab, Mishum Stirihi. The reason why Rosh Hashanah Rabbim by Saita, says the Gemara, is different than Rosh Hashanah Yochid, is because you need to have Stira to become a Saita. The Saita, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Leka. And Stira is impossible to take place in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Hacha, however, by a mikvah, Shem Chasahu. The issue is that the mikvah doesn't have the Mem Sa. And that doesn't make a difference, says the Gemara. Mali chaser, b'shus rabim, mali chaser b'shus yochid. If you have this issue, and shus rabim, and shus yochid. Ask the Gemara. V'chi tema, hakol sofik tama b'shus rabim tar. But don't we have a rule, ask the Gemara, that a sofik tama b'shus rabim is tar? So why, when you have a sofik on the smikvah, when it became possible, why are Rabbanim being machmer? Answers the Gemara, Kivan de ikatatel reyusa, as we started today's year. By the case of the mikvah, there's a tatel reyusa. Number one, we have chosla fanecha. We have a mikvah that's, as we look at the mikvah, not kosher. Number two, we have a person that is tamei, that a cheskas tuma. That's why we're stricter. Kivan de ikatatel reyusa, kavada damidami. That's why, even though normally there is indeed a halacha of sofik tuma, we're lenient, here we won't be lenient. Reb Shimon, that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. Reb Shimon on the other hand holds, ki Saita. Again, he uses Saita as his model. Mas Saita b'shus Rabbim tar, just like a Saita, as we just said, it's tar. Hachinami b'shus Rabbim tar. So too here, the halacha will be that if it took place in the Shus Rabbim, if the smikvah is in the Shus Rabbim, will be tar. Ask the Gemara, if you, Reb Shimon, are learning from Saita, Ika Saita, if you, Reb Shimon, are learning from Saita, so ask the Gemara, Emiki Saita, so compare it to Saita. Ma Saita Rishus Hayachid Tameya. A Saita, if it took place in Rishus Hayachid, we consider her Tamei. She's also to her husband. Tamei Vadai. Hachinami here too, the Allah ought to be Rishus Hayachid Tameya Vadai, that she should be considered Tamei Vadai. But what did Rav Shimon say at the beginning of our shir? That if this mikvah in Rishus Hayachid, it's a suffix. Ask the Gemara, if you're comparing it to a Saita, it shouldn't be a suffix, it should be Tamei. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. You can't compare the two. Hasam Yesh Raglayim Ladavar. There is strong circumstantial evidence that she indeed is Tamei. Shirei Kinala, she was warned. The Nistra, and she was secluded. Hacham Mai Raglayim Ladavar Ika. So there's an obvious question that Tosfos addresses. The Gemara we began today's shir, quoting the machlokes of Rabbanan Reb Shimon by this mikveh that we found disqualified, and asking what is the basis of their opinion, and the Gemara is saying we learn it from Saita, and then if you look at the Gemara has only come up with differences between the mikveh and Saita. There is reglaim ledover, here is tatil reyusa. If we remember what we learned in yesterday's shir, by the case of our Mishnah, it's only with Machmer by Kotchim and Taharis. We're not Machmer in all situations. So, we wanted to use Saita as a model, but it's a very weak model. So, Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that says a very big chiddush. He says, what Al Gemara means to say, V'shneim lo lemdu el Masaita, is not to say that Saita is the model. You can't use a model and then come up with so many differences. What the Gemara means to say is, why indeed is the halacha of Saita different than the halacha of mikvah? And then the Gemara goes on to give all the differences. It's not Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. The Rashba doesn't like the Pshat, but it seems to work. Now there's another question. Rav Shimon says that Saita is different because Saita has reglayim ledover. Sharikina lov and nistara. So now the question that the Rishonim pose is, according to Rav Shimon, that we have a law, rule, that we constantly learn throughout Shas, Sofik Tumim B'Shus HaYachid is Tamei. Sofik Tumim B'Shus HaRabim is Tar. And the source for that rule is Saita. Will that rule only apply when there's Reglayim Ladover? Or will Shimon agree that we don't apply it by Reglayim Ladover? Most Rishonim don't want to say that Rav Shimon will hold that you have to have Reglayim Ladover to have that rule. Only Mikvah, because of its inherent differences, does he use that distinction. But normally he'll keep that rule. There's a beautiful vart from the Cheshik Shloima, and I think the Shev Shemaita says a similar vart, in explaining the Machloikas of Shimon Rabbanan according to the Gemara. There are actually two very fundamental rules when we look at Saita. One rule is that Rishus HaYachid were Machmer, that she's Tamei, and one rule is that by Rishus HaRabim were Mekel, that she's Tar. The Machloikas between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan, says the Cheshik Shloima, is which is the driving rule. The Rabbanan hold the main rule of Saita is that B'Shus HaYachid she's Tamei. And that's why by Mikvah it's the same. The fact that she's Tar B'Shus HaRabim isn't the main point of Saita. And therefore you can learn the Halacha Mikvah from the Halacha of Saita, even though it won't be the same by B'Shus HaRabim. Rav Shimon holds just the opposite. Rav Shimon holds that what is the real lesson of Saita? The real lesson of Saita is that B'Shus HaRabim is Tar. And that's why we apply it to mikveh as well. I, by Saita B'Shus HaYachid, it's Tamei, and here it's Tar. That isn't the main point of Saita. Beautiful Vart. There's a very fundamental halakha question. May a kohen go into a hospital? May a kohen go into a hospital? If we learn today's shir, we ought to maybe take a lenient approach. Because Al Gemara is saying, a Safak Tomer B'Shus HaRabim is Tahar, and a Kayan, when he goes into the hospital, if he doesn't know that there's a dead body there, a dead Jewish body, should be allowed to go. It's a Safek Tumah. The Paiskim discuss this question. And the Paiskim actually take a stricter opinion to the question. Of course, it's not a situation that the Kayan has to go to the hospital because he's not well, or it's important for him to be there. We're talking, if he wants to visit somebody, but he doesn't have to visit. One reason is because any suffix that's efshel of rurei is not considered a suffix. And here, you could check. if there's anybody who's not alive and not, who's dead. Just saying I'm going to rely on a suffix, we only rely on a suffix when we have no way of ascertaining what the facts are. Another point that the Pais can make is that even if the Kohen goes into the hospital when there's nobody tamei, nobody there, or you could assume there's nobody there, but there's an issue for Kohen to be in a place where somebody is dead. So let's say he goes in and there's nobody dead, but how does he know that nobody's going to die while he's there and he has put himself into a place that he should not have been? But then there's a third very important issue to discuss, which has very relevant repercussions to the question that we're mentioning. And that is, when we say, Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahar, what does that mean? We know there's an Isser for a Kohen to be Metam himself, or Yitam HaBamav. He's not going to become Tamei. So if a Kohen went to a place that was Safek Tamei, and it's Rishus HaRabim, has he violated that lav or has he not violated that lav? And really the question goes the other way as well. When a Kohen went to a place that has a Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid, and has he violated that lav? Or maybe the Torah tells us Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid is Tameh, that means we have to consider it Tameh, but you can't give the person Malkus because we don't know for sure that there's any Tumah there. So it's a very big Machloikis Achroinim. The Mechitz Chinuch discusses the Shaila, the Hatzvi discusses the Shaila, Rav Chaim Brisker discusses the Shaila. Some learn that Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim and Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid teaches us not just a halacha, how to act. They help us establish what it is. Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid Tamei tells us that there's Tumah there. Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim Torah tells us that we consider as if there's no Tumah there. If we follow that approach, which is Rav Chaim's approach, then maybe the client could go to the hospital. But if Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid or Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim, which is more of the Mechitz Chinuch's approach, is that we consider it tar misafik, we consider it tamim misafik, but it doesn't mean that the halacha tells us that that place is tar. It doesn't mean that the halacha tells us the metzias, that the reality is that it's tamay or tar. It's only what we have to do now that we have a shayla. So, and the kohen certainly may not go there. Maybe he wouldn't get malchus. It could be a question of asra safik anyway. But certainly you can't consider tar tamay. So the din of safik tamay b'shus rabim tar doesn't help the kohen. Because Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim Tar doesn't make the place Tahar. And therefore the Kohen would not be allowed to go there. Continues the Gemara. Vibay Seima. Another approach in understanding the Machloikis of Rav Shimon Rabbanan. Hanatam Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Shimon take this more lenient approach by the mikveh that's found to be disqualified? Gomer Saif Tumah Metchilas Tumah. He learns the Saif Tumah. Because our Mishnah, the Mishnah Mikvah is talking about Saif Tumah. When somebody is completing his Tumah and going to the Mikvah to immerse himself from Tchilas Tumah, which is the case of Saita. Matchilas Tumah, just like by a Saita, which is becoming Tumah, so to speak. Safik Naga, or Safik Lay Naga, because we learn from Saita that in every situation where there's a question, did the person become Tumah? Did the person not become Tumah? That's what the Gemara means with Safek Naka, Safek Loy Naka. Did he come in contact with Tumah? Did he not come in contact with Tumah? Da loch is b'shus rab tar. Says Rav Shimon, the same thing is by Saif Tumah. Af Saif Tumah, when you have a Safek, Safek Tavel, Safek Loy Tavel, a question, was his tefillah a proper tefillah or not? B'shus rab tar. We learn from Saita that b'shus rab were mekel, and b'shus yachid were machmer. Rabbanan say you can't use Saita as a model. Why? Hachi hashta. Hasam gavra becheskas tarakai. When you have a saita, or you have a person that came in contact with Tumah, until we don't know for sure that he is Tameh, he's Tahar. Until we know for sure that the woman did something wrong, every Jewish woman has a cheskas kashrus. Hasam gavra becheskas tarakai. Mesveika lemechasina le Tumah. So if the Tumah came in a Rishus HaRabim, we make him. We say that he's not Tamei. Hacha, whereas the case of the mikvah, we're starting with an individual who is Tamei. Gavra b'cheskas tumakai. We are beginning with an individual who's Tamei. Misveika. And now we want to say that maybe he did a proper tefillah. That we can't say because it took place in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We're going to say that the tefillah was fine. Misfeka lemakina lemetumasa. Ask the Gemara, but why what we're learning by the woman is any different from a mavoi? Again, we're asking the question, the Gemara's question is on Shammai. Shammai paskin in our Mishnah, that the woman who saw dam, we only metama her into the future, not into the past. Why is this any different from this Mishnah? The Mishnah teaches us, Hasheret shenimtza b'movi. We know that the Torah Kedoshah teaches us that there are shmoina shrotzim. There are eight shrotzim that if they're dead, give off tumah. The halacha says the Mishnah later in Amos Sechta, that if a sheretz is found in a mavui, betamel afreya, so the person who went in that mavui is considered tamei, at sheyomer, until he could say with certainty, but dakti is hamavui hazeh, we investigated this mavui, v'loyoy by sheretz, and I could tell you for sure that this mavui was inspected at this time, and it was clean, oy at shas kibur, until the last time it was cleaned out. The way the Rishonim explained, again, they lived in a different world than we do. And in their world, they were very concerned about Tumah Tahara. So when somebody swept a Mavui, he made sure there should be no Shrotzim. So if somebody could say, I swept this Mavui at this time, he could be sure that at the sweeping, if there was a Sheretz, they would have swept it away. But the point is, until you can make that definite statement, everything is Tumah retroactively. So why is it why in Amish doesn't Rav Shammai agree that if the woman sees dam, she isn't tamei retroactively? Answers the Gemara: Hasam nami kiven the ikas shrutzim the gofei v'shrutzim the esrim alma. There are two concerns. Number one, there's shrutzim that might have been in that mavi, and there's shrutzim that might have been brought. It's ketat eliyosu dami. So the way the Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is like this: the Rishonim are very careful to point out that the Tatil Reyusa of this Gemara, and the Tatil Reyusa that we've had until now, and Beis Mabeis, and on top of our Amma today, are very different Tatil Reyusas. And let me explain what I mean. The Tatil Reyusa that we had till now were halachic Tatil Reyusa. One is Harei Chosel of Fanecha. We have a Posel of Mikvah. We have a person with a Cheskes Tumah because he was Tomei, and we don't know if he had a proper immersion. Those are halachic concepts. The Tatil Reyusa that we have today are not halachic concepts. They're statistical concepts. You have such a strong reason to believe that the Sheretz there, and that the Sheretz was there even before, because Shrotzim are found in Mavuis. Shrotzim do come in from other places. They're creeping creatures. Therefore, statistically, the Gemara means to say, the Mishnah means to say, that it's very likely that there was a Sheretz there from before, and that's why we take a stricter opinion. And there's a halacha nafkamina between these two Tatil Reusas. According to the Rabbanon have been learning when you have Tatil Reusa, our whole shiur until this point, has been that when you have a case of Tatil Reusa, the Tumah is taken retroactive. The Vados, we say for sure that we consider the person, that was the whole point. Even the Rabbanon who are so strict by Tatil Reusa, that's only by a halachic Tatil Reusa. But when it's the Tatil Reusa that we're speaking about now, which is a statistical Tatil Reusa, even they won't say, they'll agree with Reb Shimon, that it's not that it's Vaday Tomei, it's a Suffolk Tomei. Goes back to Gemara. Vibay Seima. We're going back to the beginning of our Masechta. We learned in the Mishnah, the Machloikus of Shammai and Hillel. What happens if a woman sees Dam? Now, do we assume that she's Tomei or not? From when do we assume she's Tomei? Shammai says only from now. Hillel goes back until the last time we could say for sure that she's Tahor. And now the Gemara gives a new explanation in that Machloikus. Till now we said that the Machloikus of Shammai and Hillel, as we learned at the beginning of the Gemara, was do we rely on the Cheskes Tahara? The Gemara offers a new explanation. And there's one very important vort to understand in understanding this Gemara's Teretz. We mentioned it in yesterday's shiur as well. Midaraisa, a woman is not Tomei just because she had a discharge. Midaraisa, a woman to be Tomei also has to have a hargosha. She has to feel that discharge coming out. And says the Gemara, a woman feels normally that she's having the discharge. And our Mishnah, the woman didn't feel it. So that's why we don't have to be Matamah backwards. So what's the obvious question? She had a discharge. So what do you mean that she didn't feel it, and that's why? What does the Mishnah, what does the Gemara mean to say? So the approach that Rashi takes, which I alluded to in yesterday's shiur as well, is that this woman, according to Shammai, we assume had the discharge as she was being baidik herself. And therefore, she got confused, and what she thought was the fear, the sensation of the bedika was really the discharge. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim have a different approach. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. The exception is the case of our Mishnah, that she had a discharge and she didn't feel it. But since normally she does feel it, so that's why Shammai says we only have to deal with the normal situation. Hanatam de Shammai, hoyav ishma geshes batzma. For Hill, Savura Hagoshes Meriglaimi. Hill says that she did have where is it? She got confused. She thought it was the need to urinate, the sensation for urination, but it was really a sensation of the discharge. And that's why she's tamei from before, until I could prove that she was tahor. And again, as I said in the previous year, why will Hillel hold in a situation where a woman had a hagosha? Because it's a very fundamental question that we keep on facing when we learn this Gemara. Our Mishnah spoke, and the Gemara's emphasizing it, especially according to Rashi. They were speaking about a case that this Mishnah, that she discovered it during the Bedika. Well, what happened if a woman becomes Tamei? Why not be concerned that she's Tamei from before? Every time a woman becomes a Nida, why are we not concerned that she became a Nida from before? So the way Rashi learns answers all of these problems. Because Rashi is saying that our Mishnah is speaking about a unique situation that it happened during the Bedika. And that's why she got confused. If it didn't happen during the Bedika, there's no reason to be Choshed. There's a different approach that, and it goes back to something I said a moment ago. If there's no Hagosha, so it's a Tumah d'Rabbanan, because a woman's never really Tumah d'Raisa without Hagosha. That's why we could be more lenient if there was no Hagosha. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that a woman always feels, when somebody's sleeping, she doesn't feel the discharge. So tomorrow, Yishem and Nami, Agav Tzara, a woman, even if she's sleeping, if she starts having her period, she, Miss Ara, she will wake up, says the Gemara. And we have such a precedent. Just like if somebody's sleeping and they have to urinate, they wake up. So the sensation is always there. There's a very famous Machloikis Achroinim, very fundamental Machloikis Achroinim in Hilchas Nida. We keep on repeating that to be Tamei Midaraisa, you have to have a discharge with a Hargosha. The question is, what is considered a Hargosha? Psichas Pi HaMakor, the opening of the uterus, is the discharge that is a sensation that certainly makes a woman Tamei. The question is, if a woman has a sensation of a Zivas Tavalach, something that is just something that liquid is flowing out of her body, is that considered the Hargosha or not? So the Chasam Sofer says this Gemara is a Raya, that it's not considered a Hargosha. Because the Gemara is saying a Hargosha has to have some real strength behind it. So if you have Hargosha, Psichas, Pimakar, that would wake you up. But Hargosha, Zivas Tavalach, is not such a strong sensation. It wouldn't necessarily wake the person up, and therefore it's a Raya that Hargosha, Zivas Tavalach, is not considered a Hargosha. Chasam Sofer is a Raya. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the point of our mission is because there was no Hargosha, Vehikas Shaita, a Shaita never has Hargosha, so then they don't have the intellect to have Hargosha, answers the Gemara, Maida Shammai B'Shaita. Indeed, Shammai will agree by Shaita that we have to be Machmet to Hillel. But ask the Gemara, let's read the word of our Mishnah. The first words were, Hakol HaNashim K'tani, all women. Answers the Gemara, Kol HaNashim Pichis. He means all intelligent women. Ask the Gemara, but the wording is still misleading. So if you want to exclude a shaita, why do you use the word kol? V'listi noshim. Why do you say kol and then have to try to fit in a pshat into the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, because our Mishnah trying to accomplish l'fukim adir v'leza. Dara v'leza. We're going to learn a Mishnah on Dav Zayin. that abinashim, we learned yesterday that any woman who has a veset kavua dies shatan. Rav Elazar holds that it only applies to four women. Vesuloi. So our Mishnah wants to say that we don't agree with Rav Elazar, and to make that point, that's why the Mishnah says kol hanoshim. But indeed, Shammai will hold a shaita has this, by a shaita, by a woman who's nebuch a shaita, Shammai will agree to Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara, Vikik Samen. The halacha is that if a woman finds on her underwear, not dafkan underwear, a kesem, a stain, unless she could explain where it came from, she's tamei. But why? Why doesn't Shammai, and this is machlokes how to learn the Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara as follows. She's tamei mikana lahaba, or she's tamei lemafrei even. The question is why? According to Shammai, you never tamei without hargasha. Vikik summon. Leimatan. So when we're going to spend time learning the halacha summon, should we suggest leimatanak summon the loike Shammai? Will we learn that, or will we have to say that Shammai doesn't agree to the concept of ksamim? Hard to understand. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, May the Shammai ksamim. By ksamim, Shammai will agree. My Tama. Because even Shammai has to deal with the reality. But Tzipa Lai Nasaska. B'shuk Shav Tabachim Lai Avra. If a woman finds a stain, let's speak about the simplest case. If she finds a stain on her underwear, and she wasn't anywhere where there was blood, so the blood had to come from somewhere. It must be that it came from her. So even Shammai, who takes this lenient approach, has no choice but be mitama her, because the kesem came from her. There's nowhere else it could have come from. So now we already had two explanations in the machlokes of Shammai and Hillel. Now the Gemara gives us a third explanation. Hanatam de Shammai. Dim Isa. Davidam, if she was tamei from before, mikaravasi, the dam would have come out of her body. The fact that the dam wasn't there is a raya that she wasn't tamei from previously. How does Hillel explain? Hillel says, what must have happened is that the body kept that dam in for a while, but it's as soon as it leaves the uterus, as soon as it leaves the makar, she's already tamei. And therefore, what we have to assume, says Hillel, is that the dam came out of her makar earlier, and that's why she's tamei from before, even though it didn't actually leave her body. Vishamai, Christ the best rucham lemek midam. If there's no place for that blood to be stored, so if it's coming, it should have come out. If it didn't come out, it's right that she wasn't tamei, says Shammai. Ask the Gemara, that's fine in a normal situation. But we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem that under certain circumstances, women are allowed to have relations with a moich. A moich is inserting a piece of material that should prevent her from getting pregnant. So ask the Gemara, if a woman has no foreign substance inserted, so that if the dam is there, says Shammai, will come out. But if she has that moich there, what's going to that maybe is what prevented the dam from coming out. Mishamesh is the moich. And today, it's not today's shir. We're going to speak about who's allowed to be mishamesh the moich and even when. But just for understanding today's shir, mishamesh is the moich. A woman who has a moich, how will Shammai defend his opinion? Amr Bai, indeed. Mishamesh is the moich. A woman who has a moich, by samakam, Shammai will agree is tamei lemafreya. Rav Amma, Rav says, even if she has a moich, Moich nami zeya mikvitz kovitz. The moich shrinks. And since the moich shrinks, there's room for the dam to come out. That's why, even if she has a moich, says Rava, Shammai will still take his position and be lenient. However, says the Gemara, moich Rava moich dachuk. Rava will agree that if it's a moich dachuk, completely inserted into the body, tightly, that certainly there, that would keep the dam in the body, and there Shammai will agree with Hillel. So in other words, Abaya and Rava are disagreeing, when is Shammai moided to Hillel? According to Abaya, Shammai is moided to Hillel by every moich. According to Rava, he's only moided to Hillel by moich toch. Ask the Gemara, so we already have three explanations between, in explaining the machlokes of Shammai and Hillel. We had the explanation that we learned yesterday of Cheskes Tahara, and now we had the two new explanations that we learned in today's shiur. Ask the Gemara, Mai ikibahani lishna lahak lishna. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, they say the Gemara's question is that why, if we learn the Mishnah simple, the explanation we gave yesterday is the simplest explanation. Shammai says we follow the Cheskes Tahara, Hillel has a problem with that Cheskes Tahara. So the Gemara's question is, why did these explanations that we learned in today's shiur, why are they dissatisfied with Hillel's explanation? Why did this, with that explanation that we learned yesterday? Why is the explanation, which seems to be the most obvious explanation, that they're arguing, is this a situation that we should rely on a Cheskes Tahara or not, not just the reason that we should follow? Answers the Gemara, because as we've been learning till this part of our Siurim, on the explanation that Shammai gave of a Cheskes Tahara, we had a problem about the case of the Mikvah, the case of the Chavis, and the case of the Mavi. So yes, we gave answers of Tata L'Reyusa, but that is not the greatest answer. These explanations avoid that problem. And that's why in order to avoid the problem that those three Brises and Mishnayos posed to Shammai's opinion, the Gemara came up with new explanations. Ikvinay L'Mimah Chavis Mikvah Mavi. Lahech Lishna, according to the first explanation, Ikrim Riminu, those questions were strong questions. However, Lahani Lishni, according to the two new explanations that we learned in today's shir, Lek Lamirma, and that's why the Gemara tried to come up with new explanations. Ask the Gemara, and in the two explanations that we gave today, Ulmai Ikabahai Lishna Lahech Lishna. So all the Rishonim asked, the difference will be a Shaita. Because according to the second explanation, which is the first explanation we learned today, we said that Shammai is moida by a shaita. According to the second explanation, a shaita doesn't make a difference. So why doesn't the Gemara say that that's the nafkamina? So the Rishonim say it's not a good nafkamina. Because just like a shaita doesn't realize that she had that sensation, a shaita also doesn't realize if the dam is an abadi and it's coming out or not. So the Gemara didn't want to use that nafkamina, so the Gemara looks at different nafkamina. So the Gemara, kabanayim moich. According to the second explanation, the sensation is there if you have a moich or not. According to Rava, it's a moich dachuk. So according to the second explanation that we learned today, if there's a moich or a moich dachuk by Rava, Shammai will agree to Hillel. According to explanation, a moich doesn't make a difference, Shammai and Hillel still disagree. Says the Gemara, Tanya, there seems to be a braisa that corroborates the last explanation. Tanya kahai lishna, dim isa da hava dami akara hava asa. That the second explanation, the last explanation is the correct one. Because the Braisa says as follow. Amalei Hillel Shammai, Hillel challenged Shammai and said to him as follows. Iyata maida bakupa, wouldn't you agree to me by a bax? Shinishtamish ba taras bezavazu, that there was food that's supposed to be tar in this bax. The nimtz javas sheretz bezavas acheretz, and now as sheretz was found on the other corner of that box, and the mafarshim say it's probably a box that's a square or a rectangle. Shetaras harishonis tameis, that it must have been tamei, that sheretz must have been there from before. Amalei avil, so just like you agreed that we have to assume that it was there from before by the box, you should similarly have to assume that already was in the woman's body from before. Says Hillel to Shammai. So listen to what you're saying. Well, my hefresh ben zu lezu. Answered the Gemara. Lezu yesh l'shalayim, lezu ein l'shalayim. A woman has no shalayim. By the box, the shalayim, there's a rim that's preventing the sheretz from coming out. So we have to assume that the sheretz was there from before. What kept the blood in the woman's body? So if there was blood, it should have come out. If it didn't come out, it must be, says Shammai, that she was tahar. Rav Amma, Rav says now a fourth explanation in Shammai. Why Shammai takes this lenient approach. Rav Amma tamed Shammai, mishum bitl peri rivya. Shammai is saying as follows, if it could be that a woman, we have no reason we have no evidence that she's tamei, yet we're treating her as tamei, so nobody's ever going to have relations with their wives, because we're dealing with erlicha people, with religious people that don't want to have relations with a wife who's a nida chiv karis. And therefore, therefore Shammai said, to avoid people not wanting to have relations with their wives, we take this lenient approach. And as the Mefarshim explained, didn't Rava just explain that with Meicha Meich Tochuk? Mefarshim say Rava doesn't really agree to that. He was only explaining that explanation. He was analyzing that explanation. His own shot is Bittul Pir V'Rivya. Tanya Nami Hachi. Omlei Shammai Lehil Imkein B'talta B'Nois Yisrael B'Pir V'Rivya. So Mefarshim ask, why is the Gemara focused on the women? It should be more focused on the men. And the question is a shtark akasha. Because men have a chiyuv pre-review. Women don't. So why is the Mishnah, why is the Braisa focused on the women, not on the men? So the Parashim say a very simple teretz. A man could always take, in those times, he could have more than one wife. A wife can't have more than one husband. So a husband could always take more than one wife, and he'll have relations with the other wife when he knows for sure she's not tamei. But this woman, Nebuch, will be left without a husband. Or, the Mefarshim say another pshat, that there's an obligation for women to have oina. And here, you're gonna deprive them of that obligation. Amaloi, Shammai Lehil, Imkei B'talta B'nais Yisrael B'Pir V'Rivya. This Gemara is the basis for the Paiskim that all say that when a Rav gets a Shaila for in Hilchas Nida, of course he has to follow the halacha, but he has to try always to make the woman tahar, if at all possible, that they should be able to have family relationships. It's really a Gemara. The Gemara says that David HaMelech said that Kol Malchi Mizrach Umariv, all the kings of the world are busy with their banquets and busy with wars. V'ni Yodei Meluchleches B'dam B'Shvir B'Shilya, my hands are dirty with blood. Kedei Latahar Ish Labala. My job as a Rav, as the Melech, is Latahar Ish Labala. There's a beautiful vart from the Shlah. The Gemara says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, in the Shir Maaseh, Yigi Kapecha Ki Toiv Lach. The Gemara says, Toiv Yigi Kapayim Mi Yerushmayim. That somebody who works, Pasha Pshat, somebody who works is better than Yerushmayim. So it's a very difficult Gemara. You could be Yerushmayim and work. So he says, what the Gemara means to say is like this. You have a Rav. Somebody comes to him with a Shaila in Hilchas Nida. So he says, I'm a Yerushmayim. And what am I going to do? I'm going to be Machmer. Says the Gemara, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a Gi Kapayim. You're supposed to put your Gi Kapayim doesn't mean your hands. It means your head. You have to start working to come up with a Psak that maybe she's talking Mutter and not just say, I'm going to be Yerushmayim and be Machmer. Says the Gemara. Omandatani, Hai Lishna, asked the Gemara, according to the explanation that we just gave. That we just gave the explanation that has to do with Bittul Peri Verivya, Hatanya, Taich Lishna. But haven't we just quoted a Brisa a moment ago that proved that the right shot is the M'isa Davidame Kara Hava Asa, that he proved from the case of Kupa that the issue here is that if there's Dam, why didn't it or didn't come out? So isn't that a proof? Isn't that Brisa a very compelling proof that that's the right shot in the Machloikis in Shammai and Hillel? Answer the Gemara, this is the way to understand that Brisa. Hossam Hillel Hudatoy. Hillel made an error. Who suffered? He was under the impression, the time of the Shammai, that what is the basis of Shammai's opinion? Then Isa Davidami Kara have also a koi. And the fact that the Dam isn't there is a raya that she's tar. To which Hillel asked him, come actually Kupa. He asked him a question from the case of Kupa, to which Shammai responded, Tam the Demish and Bittul Pir V'Rivya. Really, the reason I take the lenient approach is because Bittul Pir V'Rivya. Ulamai the Turkisa, Nami the Kamakshas Kupa, and even according to your misimpression in understanding my opinion, it's not a question anyway. Because this, the woman is different than the Kupa, Kulazu Yeshla Shalayim. Lazu ain't lishmai. Ask the Gemara, ulaman detani halishna. But according to the Braisa, that did have this version. But haven't we learned a different braisa that said explicitly, Hatanika hai lishna mishim bitl privrivya. So how do we reconcile these two braises? One braisa seems to indicate that the issue is privrivya, and one braisa seems to indicate that the issue is because did the dam, why did or didn't the dam come out? Answer the Gemara Hachikama, Lahil Hashamin. In Tama Kamrit, Dimi Sadam Davi Mikara, I understand what you're saying. And you're explaining that if there was dam, Hava Osu, the dam should have come out. And the fact that it isn't here, that's what pushes you to take this lenient approach. But as Hillel to Shammai, still, shouldn't you anyway take a strict approach? The Maishna Mikola Torah Kula, as we find throughout the rest of the Kaira, Davin Siyog, that we find the Chazal always make Gzeris, says Shammai, here is not a place for Gzeris. Because Amalei, Imkain, Betalta, Nice Yisrael Mepir Rivia, and that's why here, even though normally we make Gzeris here, I won't. Vehilu, Mepir Rivia Mikamina, Lutaharis Kamina. My point, and this goes back to what we learned in yesterday's Shir, Hillel is only focused not on the Tar Meitar part. He's focused on the Kachim and the Taharis. The Shammai, the Taharis Loi. Shammai says you can't differentiate them. Dim Kain, Liba Nik for your parish. If you're going to say that what she touched is Tamei, so the man's going to say, Chazal considered this woman Tamei, and I'm not allowed to have relations. So Shammai says to Hillel, you can't create artificial distinctions. Say for Taharis, for Kachim she's Tamei, and for the husband she's Tar. And therefore, in order to keep her mutter to her husband, I don't make any gzeris. In fact, the Paiskim who say that a Hillel who does make this distinction between taharis and a husband want to suggest that the halachas of bedika, that a woman has to examine herself, may be stricter for taharis than for being able to have relations with a husband, because Hillel is saying in our Gemara explicitly that there are different standards for taharis versus standards for a husband and a wife being able to have relations.